true that is. We do worship an awesome God. As I've said it many times, I say it again, we worship a God that has no limitations, no lack of power, or able to do whatever he needs to do or desires to do. And I'm glad that that's the God that we serve that has all power. And again, we appreciate you coming, appreciate that song. It's always encouraging to see young people want to get involved in what's going on in the church. And so we are so excited over that. Anybody got a praise before I preach? Yes. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Okay, if not, take your Bibles, open with me, please, the book of Genesis, chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22. Now I want to read the first 14 verses out of this chapter, which is a very familiar account found in the Word of God. And here in Genesis chapter 22, and the first 14 verses deals with the sacrifice or the offering that God asked of Abraham concerning his son Isaac. And I entitled it, The Offering of Isaac, but then the more I think about it, I think of the testing of Abraham. And so let's look at the first 14 verses here in chapter 22 of the book of Genesis. And the Bible said, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for an offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for the day that you've given us. We're grateful for all the blessings of life. Lord, we acknowledge today that you are so gracious and so good to each of us. Lord, we're grateful that we serve a God that has no limitations, no lack of power. Father, we're grateful that you're able to do all things. And Lord, I'm grateful that you have allowed us as your children to be part of the work of God. Now, Lord, I pray this morning, if there's one here today that's never been saved by the grace of God, may this be the day that they see their need of a Savior and trust Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray if there's one here today that's not walking with God, Lord, I pray today would be that day that they would come back to the Lord and say, restore the joy of thy salvation. Lord, we've come today to worship. And I pray you'll speak to hearts and lives. Speak to me and through me for your honor and for your glory. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I stated, I want to put the title here, The Testing of Abraham. Now, as you read here in verse 1, the Bible said, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now, here in the Word of God, the word tempt deals really with two applications. It deals with a temptation of evil brought on by Satan. And then it also deals with temptation or testing as God tests in our life. God has never tempted anyone to sin. God will test us as his children to increase our faith and also to help us to learn more about him. But here in this account, we have, as you look at it, a typical lesson or picture of Calvary. You can apply this as a type of Calvary, where Isaac is a type of Christ, obedient unto death. Abraham, type of the father who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And then the ram, the type of substitution Christ offered as a sacrifice in our stead. And I want to kind of bring that together, but also dealing with how God is working in Abraham's life and Abraham's response. Because you and I, as we walk with the Lord, there's going to be times of testing in our life. God's going to test us to help us to know where we really stand. It's very easy to say, nothing shall ever get me out of my walk with God. But then when a storm comes, we find at times that we're out of the will of God. We've backed up. We've given up. We've said, I don't think that I can handle this. But always remember that God never sends a test in your life, that God isn't doing it to help me and you to grow in the grace and the knowledge and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible talks about that the Lord is developing us. It is predestined that we be in the image of his Son. God's will for all mankind is to be saved by the grace of God. But after a person is saved, it's a will of God for God to help us to develop to be more like Jesus Christ, to be able to grow in the grace and the knowledge and the truth of Christ. But let's look here this morning at God's testing in Abraham's life. As I stated, this word tempted is a word that we can translate to testing. And James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, the Bible said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." That word temptations is testing there. But you would say, why would I rejoice in diverse temptation? Verse 2 gives us the answer. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." You know how we work or how we learn patience? We learn patience through trials. We learn patience through a waiting process. Sometimes when you pray about something and God doesn't answer that prayer immediately, that waiting period is tough on us. That's why we like all these fast food places. We want to go and we want to order our food. And by the time we get to the end of the line, we want our food. We're built on everything happening in this very moment. But God sometimes puts us in a waiting period to test our patience, or to really encourage and to help our patience to grow. But here in verse 1 and 2, or 2 and 3 of James 1, this is a testing under trial, where God puts us there to learn. James 1:13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Now this has to do with solicitation to evil. God will never, ever, ever tempt you to do evil. Never. I had a young preacher tell me one time that God was the reason he backslid. That God would put so much pressure on him to cause him to backslide. I didn't say it, but I should have said, "Are you an idiot or not?" God doesn't do that. I mean, God doesn't tempt us to do evil. God, when he sends those temptations or testings in our life, it's to be the trying of your faith. Worketh patience is to encourage your faith. You know what helps us in our faith? To watch God work in impossible situations in our life. Amen. When God does something in our life that we've already given up on, and when it happens, we say it cannot work out, and God does that, it helps us in our faith as far as believing and knowing that God is able to do whatever God wants to do. But as he tempted Abraham there and tested him, notice Abraham's response when he called there. Abraham said there, Lord said unto Abraham, and he said, "Behold, here I am." Here God speaks and Abraham answers. How many times does God speak to us and we just hang up the receiver? We don't want to hear the message. We don't want to hear the word of God. But Abraham responded, and he said, "Behold, here am I." Then after God greets him, we notice the test that God is putting Abraham in. I don't know what the test is that God's doing in your life today. I don't know what the test is that God may put in your life tomorrow. But I will guarantee you this. The longer you walk with God, there's going to be testing. There's going to be learning processes. When I went to school, I didn't mind going to school. I love recess, lunchtime, and PE. I love those three classes. Those are the greatest three classes that they ever put in school. But what it was, I didn't like for Fridays to come around, because when I was going to school, Friday, every Friday was test day. You knew every Friday you were going to have some test. And so Friday wasn't a happy day for me. When God puts a test in our life, it's not always something that right at the moment just gets us excited. But he tells Abraham, calls out, and Abraham's here am I. Now here's a test. Here's what God said to him. He said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah. Offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now put yourself in Abraham's place. Abraham had wanted a son. God had promised him a son. Abraham had to wait till he was 100 years old to receive that gift from God. And so now here, God's given him the son. God's given him a promise with that son. And now God's saying to him, I want you to take this son, thy only son, and I want you to get up into the land of Moriah. I want you to offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I tell thee of. Now, you know what most of us would have done? We'd have grabbed our kid, our child, and we would have run in the opposite direction. We'd have said, we know this cannot be of God. But Abraham, knowing the very working of God, Abraham heard the order from God. Here's your test. Here's your exam. Now, I don't know if Abraham knew at that time exactly what God was going to do, but I do know that Abraham was a man of faith. This is not Abraham's first time of being tested by God. You go back to Genesis chapter 12, and God calls him out of his own land and away from his people. He said, I want you to leave all of this behind, and I want you to go looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Now, some of you have never lived outside of Fannin County. Brother Chris had never lived outside of Fannin County till God moved him to Oklahoma and then moved him further into the desert, into Montana. But that was his first time of leaving. Karen had never lived apart from her mama. Karen said the other day, and I've been thinking about this statement. She said, I never missed a day that I didn't come by to see my mama. They have been a few days. But they constantly talked. I remember after I started preaching that Brenda had never lived apart from her parents. And it is honest, she went to her mama's every day. I did not expect her to come directly home from work. I knew she was going by mama's. And when God placed it upon my heart for us to move to Florida and to help in a work there that Brother Leroy's first pastorate, and I told Brenda we were moving, she never rebelled, but the question was, how am I going to live apart from my mama? And so if you've ever had to move away, you know the separation there. You know the loneliness. You know the uncertainty of how am I going to do it? How am I going to make it? And so Abraham was asked in Genesis chapter 12 to leave his family and his land, and wasn't even given straight direction. At least I knew when I took Brenda away from her mom and dad where we were going. I knew why we were going, and I knew what we would be doing. But here Abraham was asked to leave his land and his family and go looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham did not even know for sure where he was headed. And now the Lord has said, okay, the son, thy only son, the son whom thou lovest, I want you to take him and I want you to offer him for a burnt offering. Now notice Abraham's action to this. It's a picture of obedience. You know what God seeks out of me and you? Obedience. Obedience will produce faithfulness. And God desires for you and I to obey and to live a life of faithfulness. It talks about in the book of Corinthians that a steward is required of a steward to be found faithful. God wants that. And so when God tells Abraham, said, I want you to take Isaac, I want you to offer him up, his action is a picture of obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. If you go on and read the next verse, it talks about that rebellion is a sign of witchcraft. And so there's a vast difference. And as I read those verses, I thought of this. Now look at Abraham's life and look at the life of Saul. Abraham lived a life of obedience, and God blessed Abraham tremendously. It did not eliminate him from trials. It did not eliminate him from testing. It did not eliminate him from problems in life. But in the end, God honored his faithfulness and his obedience, and Abraham was truly blessed. Then you look at the life of Saul. Saul was told to go down there and destroy the city, everything. There, all of the animals and all of the people. And on his way back, he met with Samuel. And Samuel asked him what it was that he heard. And Saul said, oh, the people wanted to bring the best back to sacrifice unto God. God didn't say, bring me sacrifices. God said, go down there and clean them out. And so Samuel knew that Saul was in an act of disobedience, and he made this statement that obedience is better than sacrifice. There are a lot of people that would rather sacrifice than obey. It's easier for me to give my money to missions than it is to go. It's easier for me to do this than to do that. That's not what God's saying. I don't want your sacrifices. I want your obedience. And so Abraham was a picture of obedience. He rose up early in the morning. It said there that he rose up early in the morning and he saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Abraham said, okay, this is what God wants. This is what I need to do, what God wants. And so Abraham immediately began to put together the means to get that job done. What God is asking for you today is this: give me you. I will take you and I will do far beyond the very imagination of man. He took a shoe salesman by the name of D.L. Moody and made him one of the greatest evangelists that ever preached. He took others and did great works in their lives. But Abraham arose early, began to get everything together, and made the trip. He wasn't like Jonah. Jonah got things together, but Jonah went in the opposite direction. Jonah was not dependent upon God. Jonah said, I'm not going to do it. And we know what happened to Jonah. But Abraham acted in obedience. And so he made all of the plans. They began the trip. And the Bible said on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now, I try to put myself in Abraham's place. Here's my only son, the son I love, and now I see the place that God's saying go. What do I do? Do I continue or do I stop? And Abraham, by faith, continued. You say, how do you know he was doing it by faith? Because notice Abraham's statements of faith. Our church has statements of faith. What we believe, what we act upon, how we conduct everything. Abraham made two of the greatest statements of faith found in the Word of God here in Genesis chapter 22. Now, I believe this is a statement of faith because notice that to him, when they saw the place afar off, that he said to the lads that had come with him, the young men, he said, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. There's a statement of faith. God has told me to sacrifice Isaac. But I am telling you that me and Isaac are coming back together. There's one of two things here that he acted on faith. Either his faith was God was going to provide a different sacrifice, or that God was going to resurrect Isaac after that he was given up as a burnt sacrifice. See, where you and I get in trouble is when we try to figure out the end before we know what the end is. And so Abraham, by faith, just said, hey, you stay here with the animals. You stay here with what other stuff we have. Isaac and I, we are going to the top of the mountain. And notice he said, we're going yonder and worship and come again to you. Let me tell you this. Wherever God leads you, God's grace will provide. God will never ask you to do anything that God doesn't have the means to get the job done. God really doesn't need us to do it. God chooses to use us in what he's doing. So his statement of faith was, we're going away, but we're coming again. And then his second statement of faith, Abraham said, my son, let me back up a minute. Isaac asked a question here. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? See, Isaac had not heard from God. God had not told Isaac, you're going to be a sacrifice. And so he knew that when they went to worship and sacrifice, that they always carried a lamb with them for the sacrifice. And he's saying, hey, how can we have a sacrifice if we don't have a lamb? And here's Abraham's second statement. He said, my God, or my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now, I wrote this down. Abraham went on faith believing God's promise. Because in Genesis 21:12, he said, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Isaac had watched Abraham live a life of faith. And Isaac went on the faith believing his father's promise that God was going to provide himself a sacrifice. I'm saying to you today, there are people watching your lives, and the way we conduct our lives will encourage them to be who God wants them to be and know that God will never forsake them, never leave them, never ask them to do anything that's not possible, that they will realize. Now, Abraham went on the promise of God. God said in Isaac, he said, shall thy seed be called. Abraham had already experienced this waiting stuff on God. He had waited till he's 100 years old to get a son. And God said, now that you've got him, he's going to be the one that thy seed will be called. Isaac said, I've watched my dad walk with God, and I've watched God do all of the different things that God's done. And I am going to walk on by faith, believing his father's promise that God was going to provide a sacrifice. God is always going to provide you whatever you need to do what God asks you to do. Brenda and I talked with a preacher last night. We were talking about different things in the ministry. And he said that he went to a church in Hartwell. And he said they didn't have many people but had a lot of debt. And he said they went there and the church began to grow. And then he had a preacher come in, and I don't mind telling this. I'd have no problem with it. He had a black man come in and preach for him. And his, what he called his high men, his most loyal people, got up and walked out. So he asked them, said, "Were you sick?" And they said, "No, we're not listening to a black." You know what I said to him? People are stupid. Churches will send money to Africa, but they won't listen to a black man preach here. I don't care what color skin they are. If they're preaching this book, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to support them. I'm going to amen them. I'm going to say sick them. I mean, I am going to encourage them. But what I'm saying is this. Here, we have to realize, and I tell the story and I ain't forgot it. So he said that all these people left. The crowd went down. The debts were still there. And he said, I was amazed. Money started coming through the mail. People we didn't know were sending the church money and saying, "We want to help you and help you." And he said, "We paid every dime off and got debt free." I'm telling you today, God will not send you to do something that God doesn't have the means to get it done. It may not be the way you think it's going to happen, but God has a means and God will do it. Amen. And so they walk by faith. Now notice the outcome of the test. It said in verse 9, and they came to the place where God had told him of. Notice Abraham's actions here. When he got to that place, what did he do? He built an altar there and laid the wood in order. I don't believe Abraham wasted any time. I don't think he sat there and thought, "Well, should I do it or not do it?" He began to build that altar and he laid the wood in order. Then he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham is a sign of the father giving his son. Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus, obedient unto death. He was following his father's orders. And so Abraham gets ready to perform the sacrifice. He stretches forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But then God intervenes. We see God's intervention. He's always right on time. Let me make a statement. I ain't made it in a long time. God is never early. God is never late. God is always right on time. Amen. God does not operate according to our time clock. Right. I've never thought God was too early. I thought he'd been late sometimes. But God's always right on time. And God came. God's intervention. He's always right on time. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." Now, Abraham had not stopped his ears up with self-pity. He had not stopped up his ears with thinking this isn't right. And he heard the angel when the angel spoke. And he said, "Here am I." And here's the message from heaven. "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me." He passed the test. Notice how God said this. "I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from God." Abraham got an A+ on that test. What is our grade today on the test God's working in our lives? Are we getting an A plus or an F minus? I don't even know if they give F minuses. I did in one of my classes one time get a 4 and a 4, and the 4 was an F and 4 was bad attitude. I got them both in the same class. And I asked the teacher, I said, how did I get a 4 in conduct when I slept the whole time? She said, that's part of conduct. But Abraham got an A plus. He passed the test. You know what happens when we pass the test? We're rewarded. I mean, it's a greater reward to see that big A plus than it is to see that little bitty F or D. When I got an A, I wanted it to cover the whole page. When I got the other grades, I wanted them right down the right-hand corner, real small. So you had to hunt them. But I believe God said, A plus, Abraham, you passed. That you've proven that you love me more than you love your son. And God gave him a reward. Verse 13. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. God said, here's my reward. Here's my payment for your testing. Here's what you earned. You earned a sacrifice. And Abraham took him. Brother Robert, come to the piano, please. You can play very softly, just as I am. Let me close with this. Now, your test time. We've seen Abraham's test. We see how Abraham responded. And we see what God did. Now, it's your test time. God spared not his son Jesus Christ. He allowed him to die on the cross of Calvary. No one took his place. Here's a difference in this story. Isaac, a type of the son, obedient unto death, but never having to face death. Jesus Christ was a son, obedient unto death, who died in my place, in your place. He gave himself in the place of mankind. Why? Because Romans 3:23 said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 said, for the payment, the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God's eternal life. And so God has made it possible. But here's your test. Will you today put your trust in Jesus Christ and receive eternal life? If you're here and you've never been saved, doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, but you realize today that you are dying without Christ, will you today put your trust and faith in him? The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then, for those that of us that are saved, will you surrender your life to Jesus Christ for his service? Will you be willing to do what Christ asked you to do? One of my favorite verses in the Word of God is Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. It said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, But let your mind be transformed. That's not the correct way. But God's saying, hey, will you surrender, and then will you let me change you? That your mind can be changed. And then, if not, then you fail the test. And the outcome is sad. Those that die without Christ spend eternity separated from Christ. Then those that never surrender will never see any rewards at the judgment. The choice is yours. If God was to say directly to you today, this is what I want you to do, what would your answer be? Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And God said, if you'll come, I'll give you power. Let us stand. You need to come. I invite you to come this morning.